So the big question is this: how do those of us in the real estate industry with crazy amounts of ambition, how do we think bigger than the building of our own empires? How do we simultaneously seek success and significance, income and impact? My name is Justin Stoddard, and this is the Think Bigger Real Estate Show. What's up, my friends? Justin Stoddard here. Today, I'm going to teach you how to create your own Disney World. For those that know me and have followed me in any way, know that this last week was a bit of a dream come true for me. I've always dreamed of being in a spot where I could go attend a great conference, great event, and bring family members with me to enjoy the beauties of that particular space with those that I love the most. And this past week I did that. It was amazing. My wife and soon-to-be 16-year-old daughter came with me, and they played while I worked, and then we all played together. It was fantastic. But because these business wheels are always turning and I'm always looking for ways that I can add value to my clients, I was studying what Disney has done. I think there's nobody that would argue that Disney has become one of the most iconic and recognizable brands in the world, to where clients keep coming back. Some people follow them almost cult-like, where they've got Disney tattoos. They commit all of their vacations and free time to either consuming Disney or attending Disney. It's pretty wild. And for those of us that want to create a type of business that attracts the kind of clients, that delivers the kind of experience, life-changing experience for some people, and wants customers to keep coming back over and over and over again, then today I have a treat for you, because we're going to study together what it was like at Disney World and what allowed me to really take from that experience and now help you to apply to your business. So I'm going to share with you my screen here. We're going to go through this together. Here, over on the right, you'll see some pictures of me and my wife and sweet daughter, as well as some dear friends, some people who we got to spend some time with while in Disney World. And it was such a great experience. The very first principle that I want to cover is, how is it that Disney gets more clients? I don't know anybody that isn't interested in having more clients. Very infrequently do I come across an agent that says, turn off the spigot. I don't want any more clients now or ever. I'm good. Occasionally it happens, but I would imagine that if you're like me, you're always looking to grow and you're always looking for ways to add more value to clients. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that Disney does to always be getting more clients? Because I'll tell you this, I was inside their park and it was an off month. I didn't know this coming in, but September is actually a great month to go to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, if you're okay with getting wet. You can see the top picture there. We have some serious ponchos on. The first day we had some amateur ponchos. Some kind ladies on the bus said, you guys don't have any ponchos? We're gonna give you some of our ponchos because it's gonna be wet. Now, we'd only been there for the first day in the morning, and it was not rainy. It was nice. But all of a sudden it started to rain, and it started to like monsoon. We could hardly believe how much rain we were getting. And the thing that I realized is, even in an off month, right, kind of their off season when it's super rainy, the park was still packed. There were still lines on all the rides that we wanted to go on. So the first principle that we have to learn from Disney is that they are always selling. Now, people might think like, I'm too busy to have new clients right now, but we have to realize that there is always room for more people. There's always room for more clients. So I'm going to put here, always be adding new clients. Now, another way to look at this is, if I were to look at your day today, this morning, between the hours of 9 and 11, which I believe are key lead generation times, were you actively engaging with new potential clients? Because if you were not, the reality is 90 days from now, you're not going to have new clients. Now, if we fast forward, October, November, December, December 22nd, if you don't want to get paid on that day, a few days before Christmas, then you did what you were supposed to do today, which is not have a conversation with new clients. Now, you might say like, this is perfect because I actually want to have Christmas off. I don't want any new clients that month. My guess is you would still want the income coming in. Even if it's you're off with your family and you have enough business coming in to where you can be maybe assigning that to another agent while you're going skiing with your family, right? Or maybe on a tropical island with your family, my guess is you would still like those escrows closing on December 22nd. So my statement to you, my invitation to you is, and it's something that you already know, is that I really need you to get really serious about being in conversation with new people all the time. It really is no mystery why some people have a lot of clients and some don't have a very big book of business, a very big business, is because some people are just very committed every day to be in conversations with people about real estate, period. If you're not doing that, you're not getting appointments. If you're not getting appointments, you're not getting contracts. If you're not getting contracts, you're not getting closings. It's very simple, folks. Closings, contracts, conversations, or appointments, and then conversations. Okay, and even below that, we might say attention, right? But we always have to be adding new clients, which means we always need to be, always be in convos, conversations with people about real estate. Okay. Now, here's something interesting that I observed from Disney. Again, it was an off month. It was September. Almost all the kids are back at school and it's super rainy. And yet they had the entire theme park decorated like Halloween. They had pumpkins everywhere. And they had the entire week, they would have in the evening hours, at least on Friday nights, they would have trick-or-treat. So they would close the park down to people that hadn't paid extra to be a part of that particular experience. And as a result, they were selling tickets to locals and to other people on how they could come in and have a Halloween experience at Disney World. My question to you is, are you always thinking about ways that you can be getting new clients? People who might have no reason buying or selling right now, are you finding new ways to get clients? Maybe they're taking some of the equity out of their home and they're buying another home. And maybe they're buying a vacation home or a rental property. But my invitation to you is, are you always looking for ways to be getting new clients? Because you might think that you are packed, but I'll tell you what, Disney World still sold a lot of people tickets into their park when the lines were already very full. When we were excited to see only a 60-minute wait to go on that ride, that's not bad. Let's get in there. Because their client experience is so good, what they're delivering is so good, they realize that it's okay if people have to wait just a little bit to get on those rides, because it can't be duplicated anywhere else in the world. Now, this is a great segue into the second topic, which is deliver such a high client experience that even amidst difficult challenges, people still have a great time. Now, when I say difficult challenges, what I'm talking about with regards to Disney World is you can see us eating ice cream in the rain. We had serious, like I said, ponchos on, because if you didn't, there was nothing dry on your entire body. Nothing dry on your entire body, because it was that wet. We had at one point, we're walking through the park, and we had water over our ankles, almost up to our, like partway up our calves. It was that much rain coming down. Like, it was serious. There's lightning in the air, right? And even amidst those challenging circumstances, Disney is still delivering. They knew that it was going to be rainy. They sold Disney ponchos, right? The show must go on. I actually talked to a friend of mine who works at Disney, and I said, does this place ever shut down? He said, never. Unless there's a hurricane that day, they'll shut down for that if there's serious safety concerns in the park. But beyond that, Christmas, Thanksgiving, it's always open. There's always, he said, here in Florida, we had a hurricane. And the day of the hurricane, it was closed. The next morning, they had a whole crew coming in, cleaning up the trees. And then right after them were all the staff, because they knew that there were going to be people back in the park. So even amidst very challenging circumstances, they're still delivering a very high client experience. Now, leading up to this, I had a client reach out to me to say, Disney World, she said, surprise and delight. And that's exactly what we experienced, is that everybody in that park has a theme, right? You don't see employees walking around just in regular street attire. Like, it is a theme park because there are people who have themes, right? They're there to deliver an experience, almost as if you're in the movies, right? That even with crazy rain, even with long lines, they still have found a way to deliver a great client experience. So how do you deliver a high client experience even amidst challenging circumstances? I'm going to say communicate expectations always. What do I mean by this? When we would step up to a ride, we knew long before we stepped into that line how long it was going to take us to get to the front of that line. Okay, they just had it down to a science. They knew that it was going to be 45 minutes until you got on that ride. And when I know that, I'm not that upset when it takes 45 minutes to get on that ride. Now, when I am upset is when I'm like, oh, that looks like that line's not very long and it's 45 minutes and I thought it was going to be 15 minutes. So the more that we can communicate clear expectations always, it's amazing how much better people's experience gets with us. We have to always be communicating client or expectations that help people to know what they're in for. Now, you and I both know that there are changing circumstances. When a massive monsoon came in and there was lightning in the air, right? They communicated that. In fact, at one point we were getting ready to watch an Indiana Jones stunt show where the gentleman who pretends to be Indiana Jones, and they came in right after the show had started. It was only a few minutes in, and all of a sudden they come in and they kind of make a big scene. Oh my goodness, Indiana Jones, he's down. And we're all kind of like, wait, what? Is this really what's happening? And they said, unfortunately, there's a lightning storm within 7 miles. We've got to turn the show off. We're so sorry. Please come back. Those are extenuating circumstances that they had an idea that they might come, but the way that they communicated it kind of left us with a little bit of surprise and delight, like, oh my goodness, is he really hurt? Right? But it was just part of the show, part of a way for them to deliver some sort of surprise, even though the circumstances were not ideal. And then afterwards, we were able to go down in that time and have an individual interaction with Indiana Jones, right? It wasn't actually Harrison Ford, but he looked pretty close to what Harrison Ford would look like. And in that process, we were surprised and delighted that we got such individual time with kind of the star of the show. Now, another way that I thought was fascinating in how they went about kind of surprising and delighting. When I was a kid, getting on a roller coaster and going through a roller coaster line was nothing more than kind of working your way through a series of gates, right? And it was just a line. And at the end, there was a roller coaster. Right? Now that was pretty cool when I was a kid, but they've made the uncomfortable parts part of the experience. Okay? So I'm gonna put that down here. Make discomfort part of the adventure. What do I mean by this? We went on the ride called Avatar. If you ever get a chance to go to Disney World, it's worth the wait. I did get a little sick to my stomach. Thankfully, not too sick to my stomach, but it was a pretty crazy ride. But in the process of standing in line, waiting, it's not just a boring line. It's the backstory of the Avatar. So you very quickly, in fact, from the second that you even can even see the end of the line, it's the entire area. It feels like you're off on that planet where Avatar was created, right? Like there's just this whole feeling of I'm in a place, I'm somewhere special. And in addition to that, they had, as soon as you start going through kind of the tunnels, instead of just a line, it's actually tunnels, you can start to see and remember the backstory, like the whole lab, right? Like lab coats and machinery. And this must have been where the soldier who became an avatar, like how he... like where he must have slept and how they got here and some of the broken down equipment from the Army Rangers that were there kind of pilfering the land. Like it reminds you of this. So all of a sudden this 60-minute experience of that would normally be very uncomfortable became part of the story, became part of the experience. So how do you apply this to real estate? Well, you and I both have been in this industry long enough to know that not everything's going to go as planned, right? There's going to be potentially some addendums, some inspection issues, some appraisal issues. There's going to be some things that are going to come up in financing with rates changing and rate locks and escrow and finicky sellers or finicky buyers. Like, we just know that some of these things are going to come up on every single transaction. If they didn't, they wouldn't have need of us. They would only have need of an algorithm, right? So be grateful. Be grateful for these uncertainties, because that's what keeps algorithms from completely taking what we do for a living. They need us. But how do we make it to where it's not such a discomfort on the client? I would encourage you right now to think of some of the most recent items of discomfort for your clients. And I want you to ask yourself, what could I have done during that time to create a story out of that? To maybe give them some preemptive preparation for that. How could I have prepared them? And I'll just give you one example, maybe two, that when people are going to be looking at a lot of homes, there are agents who will prepare a little kind of snack basket, like water and treats, right? To where we know that we're going to be looking at a lot of houses today. We know we're going to be traveling all over the city. And in preparation for that, we've actually given you a guide. We've given you some water with our branding on it. We've given you some snacks. We've also have stopped, like, a time in there where we're going to stop and I'm going to treat you to one of the kind of the best donut places in the Northwest, right? Kind of whatever that looks like, there's going to be a focus, some intentional effort around taking what would be a total discomfort and turning it into something good, something interesting, something part of the client experience. And so that's what I'd encourage you to do. Again, think about the areas that you know that are going to be uncomfortable for you and your clients, and you're going to create some sort of client experience around that. You're going to make it to where it's part of the story, and you're going to tell them up front that, hey, at times here's some of the areas where we may have some problems, and it may not be that fun. And just so you know, it might get a little bumpy through here. And then at those times, be prepared to surprise and delight them with something interesting, okay? So make it part of the adventure. Make it part of the backstory. Don't act surprised when surprises come up, because you and I both know that they always come up. Deliver a high client experience regardless of what the circumstances are, okay? The final point that I want to cover here is get clients to come back and refer their friends in the meantime. So My friend Brad, his job is to sell the Disney Vacation Club. What that means is that you have people who are on site and they're looking for their ideal customers. Now, an ideal customer does exactly this. An ideal customer, they stay on property. They spend a lot of money on property. They are at Disney for a longer period of time. These are people who are ideal customers. So they're looking for ideal customers, okay? They know who are their ideal clients. Now, I was not their ideal client. I stayed off property, off Disney property, at a less expensive venue than some of the other places that I could have stayed at, right? The frugality inside me and my wife, the practicality, had us do exactly that. And so I wasn't their ideal client. So they weren't heckling me. They weren't harassing me. I say that in all kindness. But they were definitely had their eye on who are the big spenders, who are the people that are all at Disney, have the Disney tattoos, and we want to commit them to keep coming here year over year over year, actually buy a fractional ownership property on site to where their vacations are here, okay? So I want you to think about that. All too often, we don't know who is our avatar. We think everybody is, and therefore nobody is. But when you know who is your ideal client, you can really cater your efforts to going and not only creating a magnificent experience for them, but you can also cater your efforts around finding more of them and as securing them as long-term clients and customers. Oftentimes we'll have this conversation with agents who have a database of 1,000 people. I say, do you have it prioritized? It's like, well, not really. It's prioritized alphabetically. That's not prioritized, right? Inside of that database, there are maybe 10%, maybe 20% of the people who will be your raving fans. They will refer you. They will use you. They're not going to try and mess with your fee. They know that you're worth it and they're willing to pay for you. Those are your ideal clients. So are you properly prioritizing all your efforts to give them such a high level experience and to give them such value that they come back, they commit all of their efforts to working with you again, and any conversation about real estate, they're pointing it back to you, okay? Because if you're not doing that, the reality is you're showing up kind of average to those people. If you're not putting focus on them, really focus on them and really giving them incredible value, then you're not really differentiating yourself. You're not really giving them an experience that's going to wow them and bring them back over and over again. So once you know who are your ideal clients, cater your experience to generating loyal, long-term, high-value relationships. Because again, if you're serving the same ice cream to everybody, it has to be vanilla. But if you can find out who are the very most important people in this database, then you can give them like a Häagen-Dazs, Ben and Jerry's type experience. Okay, so you got to cater your experience to those people. In short, guys, I want you to let me just start with this. For those of you that are listening to this on the podcast, I would encourage you, if you're not yet a member of the Successful Real Estate Agents Facebook group, go do that now. You're really missing out on a number of resources that we make available to you there. If by chance you've also are listening to this and you've not yet received your personalized referral score, which is a report telling you exactly how much money is available in your sphere that you're currently missing out on and the first steps to go tap into that, then I would encourage you to join the group and or reach out to me, DM me, say, I want to know my referral score. Super powerful diagnostic tool I've created. It's free to you. It'll give you some amazing feedback and will allow you to really know with clarity what are the next steps. So with that being said, again, I want to wrap up the three major things that I learned from Disney, from being at Disney World. Number one is to always be getting clients. Always. There was always room. Worst case scenario, you referred out to somebody else. But you have to have dedicated time every day to be in conversations with people about real estate so that you can find people that you can help. If you're not doing that, you're setting yourself up for failure 90 days from now. Okay. Point number two is to deliver such a high client experience even amidst difficult challenges. Be prepared for what will go amiss and deliver value even amidst that, and you'll come out a rock star. The last one is to get clients to come back and refer their friends by knowing who is your avatar and catering your experience around those people, not just the squeaky wheels who are demanding attention, but you may never want to work with those kinds of people again. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in to this special exclusive training about how to create your own Disney World. I look forward to being in contact with you soon. Have a great day. If you enjoyed this episode, then I have a very special invitation for you. I've created a private Facebook community called Successful Real Estate Agents, where the focus is going beyond success, having both a successful business and a significant life. If you're not yet a member, go sign up now.